Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Back here, first things first, look at that. The sun is making its way out this morning. It is a beautiful morning, and we are back here live on Miami Beach getting ready for Super Bowl 54. And lucky us, how about this? Right now, we're joined by Hall of Fame running back, three-time Super Bowl champ, Emmitt Smith.
What's up, brother?
Hey, Emmitt, welcome.
Good. I'm wonderful, wonderful. How are you guys doing this
morning? Fantastic.
It's running back day. I keep trying to tell you guys, it's running back day. You bring in a Hall of Famer.
Brian, it's running back day every day in New York when you're on the show. Are you kidding? Oh, just every day, period.
Without having a great running back
day. That's right.
Well, let's quickly start with what you brought here, a beautiful gift for all of us to get our morning going. Little Herradura.
Brought y'all some early gifts this morning. Herradura and I teamed up. Been working with Herradura for the last 10 years or so. Brought y'all some añejo. It's very good. Nice with a margarita, nice with a whole lot of different things. You can take it natural as it is. Herradura is celebrating 150 years, and they've done a great job in terms of distilling this bottle right here and many other bottles. So,
awesome.
Excited.
Well, thank you.
I want to ask you about the game in this regard. You obviously played in three Super Bowls, won three Super Bowls. There was your first two Super Bowls, you were, to my eye, the best player on the field. You were utterly dominant.
You're just saying it because I'm on the set.
No, it's true.
No,
I think the numbers back it up. Your third Super Bowl was the only one where you weren't individually dominant. And I wonder how much of that was because to get there against the AFC Championship game, you had, I think it was 35 for a buck 50 against Green Bay. The reason I bring it up is we just saw Raheem Mostert run the ball damn near 30 times, looked like the best player on the field in that game. How do you feel after a game with that type of workload? And even though you have the extra time to recover, how do you expect that to affect Mostert this week?
Well, two things. That third Super Bowl, we had a bye week in between, so you had 2 weeks to prepare for the running game, which we had. So Pittsburgh knew what to do and how to stop the running game. They prepared for it consistently. The second part, to answer your question, in terms of the number of carries, in Mostert's case, he wasn't getting touched. He was 9 and 10 yards down the field. So for him, it was like a track meet. I mean, nobody really touched him. He didn't really take a lot of shots, and so which was a beautiful thing. He scored 4 touchdowns, so you could minus 4 tackles on that. So with him, I think he's fine. Having 2 weeks to recover is even better, but the worst part, you gave the defense a coordinator 2 weeks to stop that run.
When you talk about what Mostert was able to do, obviously he was dominant running the football. The 49ers are dominant. But just tell us how that affects the defense. Because when I watch a game, I'm watching the Kansas City Chiefs or other teams, and I'm saying, well, can they stand up for 4 quarters? That's the big question. And the way able to run the football demoralizes the defense. It's almost like Steph crossing half court and shooting a three. There's nothing you can do at some point. And just talk about how the run game affects the opposite side of the ball, the defense.
Here's the beautiful thing about having a solid run game like the 49ers. Actually do have. You can control the clock. You control the clock, you keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline, you force them to make throws and put pressure on the offense to score a lot of points because that's what they're accustomed to doing. And so when you slow that down, they're out of rhythm. If you can keep them out of the rhythm, as we've seen them start games very slow, you keep them out of rhythm, you can take advantage of those things. And one thing about Kyle Shanahan and their running game, this is just like Terrell Davis back in the day. They ran that ball down everybody's throat with all kinds of running backs. So the 49ers got a very good chance.
What makes the Chiefs, let's talk about the Chiefs for a second, so dangerous, so dynamic, is they've got two big offensive weapons in Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, who Mahomes is very comfortable going to. You had that with you and Michael Irvin. How much easier is it when you have both weapons playing at the same time for an offense?
Well, I think it creates a lot of matchup issues. And the Chiefs can go a little bit beyond Patrick Mahomes along with Tyreek and Kelce. They have two others, Sammy back there, and they got some other guys. But don't forget those two running backs that they actually have. Everybody's slipping. I mean, everybody's all caught up in all the fancy things that you see. It's those two running backs in the backfield that catching passes out of the backfields, making guys miss one-on-one here and there that can make a difference for the Chiefs. And so their running game is going to be very, very important this weekend, as well as the 49ers running game.
All right, this game, I think, for most people, base level analysis is the Chiefs' passing attack against the Niners' pass rush. So that ostensibly removes the running backs from it. But when you think about how are the Chiefs going to offset the Niners' pass rush, it's screen game, right?
Right.
Keeping a running back in for protection. When you are playing a team with as good of a pass rush as the Niners have, what walk us through your job, whether you're going out to receive a pass or whether you got to deal with a blitzing linebacker in your face.
Well, first of all, dealing with a blitzing linebacker in your face, we know what we have to do. It's mano-mano. We got to do that. We got to stop that. The second part is when I'm going out for a pass route, I got to help my left tackle and my right tackle, because, as you know, those two defensive ends are coming, and they're going to come hard. So I would tell my left tackle, set inside, force him outside, let me get a chip on his rib cage so I can slow him down and give you a chance to get your hands back on him. That's the way Mark Tourney and I used to work. And on the right side, Eric Williams the same way. If I'm going in between the line of scrimmage, then it's the same way. Lose him inside. Let me bump him a little bit just to slow him down so I can add another 1 or 2 seconds for the quarterback to have time to throw the ball down the field.
When in most of your Super Bowls, all three of them, you carried the load. You got the ball, 25, 30 times a game.
You just hand it off.
But you were a one-man show as far as running the football. The 49ers are doing it more of a running back by committee. How much harder is it for all of those guys to try to get a rhythm in the game by coming in and out of the game the way that they do?
One thing about a zone offense, when you have a zone running game, as I've seen in my past with Terrell Davis and, all the guys that they had up in Denver running their rock for hundreds and thousands of yards, is that you could do that. These guys are trained to do that zone running scheme, and they do a very good job at doing it. A lot of backs are very good at running the zone scheme. I was never good at running the zone running scheme. But I was a downhill runner. But these guys are very skilled at doing it. They're very patient. They set it up. Whether you fall inside, I'm going to bounce it outside. I'm going to make you wrong no matter what you try to do. And that's what these guys are doing right now. So I think as far as advantage goes, both of these teams can run the ball fairly well. And they got very good backs. And I'm watching them, learning a lot about them, and I'm seeing them do their thing. They're both teams have very skilled backs.
Yeah. Emmett, we've been talking to so many players this week about the right things to do this week, especially if you're a player getting ready for the game. We had some fun. We poked some fun at the 49ers, who went out hard, I think Monday night. Listen, they said they didn't drink, whatever they want to do. My question to you is just, what's the week like? You've been there a couple times, you've done it a couple times. What did you learn from the first time or the second time as a player getting ready for Sunday? Maybe that could help you going into that game.
The first time was the absolute worst because anxiety and all those things, not knowing what to do and how to prepare, not knowing if you're actually doing the right thing or not, because you try to treat it as normal. You hear coaches say, this is a normal work week. No, it's not, nothing normal about it, because most people are playing in their first Super Bowl and they're all excited and everything. So not to mention, you're here in Miami. So you're going to go out and party a little bit. I think you.
That's
just baked into it. Right, it is. Right. It is what it is. That's part of normal living.
So. Yeah, and your guys' third Super Bowl, You guys had some fun the week leading up to it.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? So on Monday through Wednesday, party hard. Enjoy yourself. But I say party hard, you're going to be back by curfew time. So every week is a curfew. Every day
is
a curfew.
What was curfew for the Cowboys?
It was like 1 o'clock.
It was like
1 o'clock, something like that, 12 or 1 o'clock. And then as we got to Thursday and Friday, it got closer and closer to like 11 o'clock. And so right now, teams are starting to tighten up the reins. And guys should probably stop drinking, start drinking a lot more fluid, start getting off their feet, start relaxing a little bit more, start zoning in on what you need to do without doing it too soon. Because when you're thinking about the game too much, it wears you out. I mean, it wears you out. You're going to come out on the football field before kickoff completely wore out just doing warm-ups.
Yeah.
And so that you have to kind of balance it all. And when you're playing multiple Super Bowls, you understand that.
Such a burden, multiple Super Bowls.
You got to have the experience of being
there in order
to understand how to deal with it.
Your coach for the first two of those Super Bowls, our colleague at Fox, obviously a couple weeks ago, really awesome moment live on the air, finds out he gets long overdue into the Hall of Fame. Yeah. I know you've talked about it, but I wanted you to share with us how that moment resonated with you with Jimmy Johnson getting it.
I was so happy for Jimmy because Jimmy definitely deserves it. Even though, he had such an impact on the game early on and the impact on the Dallas Cowboys and our turnaround early on. And to see him be awarded with this opportunity to come join players that he has coached, Irvin, myself, Aikman, Haley, yeah. Larry Allen, and other great players that are all, and coaches that are all in the Hall of Fame is a wonderful thing. And so I'm happy for my coach. He's one of the best coaches I've ever played for. There's no comparisons, hands down. He's just a great person, and I love Jimmy.
And we echo that as well. We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has now teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, so you have less stress, so you perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. And if you head to calm.com/sports40, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/sports40. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/sports40. That's calm.com/sports40. With us now on set, Titans superstar running back Derrick Henry, after a fantastic year, gets to sit down and talk to us this morning. Good morning, Derrick. How are you?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Well, let's quickly dive in. You are here on behalf of the FedEx and Ground Player of the Year Award. I know fans can vote at NFL.com/FedEx. Why don't you tell us more about it?
Yeah, it's FedEx Air and Ground Player of the Year Award. You know, fans can vote at NFL.com/FedEx and NFL Twitter. It's on behalf of the Air and Ground Player. We donate $20,000 each to USO.
Nice.
So it's a great thing FedEx is doing. I'm happy I'm able to team up with them to be able to do that.
And we can vote, obviously, for you. I think it's Nick Chubb, Christian McCaffrey, you're the three ground nominees.
Yep.
You want to make a little closing push for why it should be you?
I tell them to just turn on the tape if they want to vote for me. But
real simple,
I definitely appreciate everybody's vote if they do vote for me. So, yeah.
Week 17, you guys are fighting to get into the playoffs. You also, Nick Chubb had already played, had a good game. Were you aware during that game how close you were to the rushing title? And you guys end up blowing out the Texans. So I wonder if at some point in the game you can focus on, all right, we got this win. Can I get the rushing title to go along with it?
Yeah, I think my main focus is us getting into the playoffs. I think my teammates and the O-linemen were the one that was trying to track it. So when I got close, they came up to me. They were like, hey, you're this many yards away. You're this many yards away. So we were on that last drive when I got it. I came to the sideline, and coach was like, hey, you got one more play. You coming out. And then the next play, I went 53. So.
Yeah. You did it with emphasis.
So both teams, Chiefs and Niners, they don't have a back like you that they just give the ball to us more running back by committee.
Yep.
How much harder is that to split carries and you can't really get in the flow of the game?
I just think every back is different. And, you know, every system is different how they run theirs. I think the 49ers do a great job of how they do theirs, with running back by committee who's hot. You know, you stick with that guy. And I think they do a great job as far as them as a collective group at running backs is understanding that.
Because you were running by committee early in your career with DeMarco Murray, correct?
Yeah.
And then with Deion Lewis. I want to follow up there for a second. Anyone that's seen your high school highlights, some would say unfair. I would say borderline illegal. I would have pulled kids off the field. You then go to the University of Alabama, mm-hmm. and you dominate college football. Mm-hmm. Yet for some reason, despite being a first-round pick, you get to the NFL, and I feel like some people wondered, well, how will it translate? And people didn't know, well, what will he be at this level? I feel like you knew all along, if you became a feature back, you could have the type of run that you had, not just the last quarter of this year, but really, if we want to go back 24 games, from when you took over for Deion, what was the game where you had the 99-yard run?
Jacksonville game.
From the Jacksonville game on national TV to going into that Chiefs game, it was as good of a 20-some game stretch we've seen. Did you know that was in you? And what was your level of frustration early in your career not being able to exhibit that consistently?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I knew at some point, you know, that it'll happen. You know, I just had to stay patient. But I think in the beginning of my career, you know, I think it's just growing pains with experience. And I mean, everybody's career doesn't start the same. You know, you love your career to start off, you know, you just hitting on all cylinders. But I mean, I think it's it's an adversity that comes with this game, and you know, you just keep pushing and keep fighting, and eventually good things happen for you.
Derek, just the last three or four games of the season, when you were just so featured and just so prominent, and it almost seemed like every offensive play you were out there, just what was your body like game to game? It looked like you were just going to be in an ice bath for like 66 hours after every, leading up to every game. How hard was that on your body?
I mean, people, you know, look at it, you know, us, you know, you're getting beat up, you're getting hit, like constantly, but actually, I really wasn't that bad. You know, I might, you know, have a little nicks and bruises, you know, the day after, but I think like 2 days after, I was fine. I was ready to go. So, I mean, people look at it like, dang, he got to be wore down. But
you ain't got all that stuff.
I've been doing that since like high school. So it really, I mean, it really wasn't that bad. I feel great now, you know, and I feel great during the season.
So you light up the Patriots in the first playoff game. Mm-hmm. You light up the Ravens in the second playoff game. Uh-huh. You run for 188 yards against the Chiefs in the regular season. So you had a lot of people picking the Titans probably with the upset. Yes. What was the difference in that playoff game where they held you to 69 yards? What did they do defensively?
I think they did a great job up front. You know, they D-line. You know, I think they were very physical. They were coming off the ball. I think in the first half, we were moving the ball, you know, pretty good. And the second half, you give those guys a chance to get the ball coming out of half. I think they scored before half. And, you know, as an offense, you got to be able to keep up with their offense. And I think, you know, we kind of stalled on a couple of drives and they took advantage of it. So, you know, that offense is very hard to stop.
Did you guys get out of the game plan a little early, though? Because you did get a stop on that first drive of the second half. And even though you guys then got stopped, you're down 11. It's not the work. Did you get out of the game plan too early?
I don't think that we got out of the game plan too early. I think that we were just trying to see something, you know, call something to see if it works, you know. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, we just came up a little short. Like I said, they're a great team. They did a great job with the plan that they had put in. And, you know, that's why we're in the Super Bowl right now.
I do wonder, we talked about it as maybe one of the plays of the playoffs. You're on the sideline when it happens. What is going through your mind in the first half when you see the Patrick Mahomes play, a half you guys had dominated for the majority of, and now you're going to go into the halftime trailing? And this will be the last question about the AFC Championship game, I promise.
Yeah, I was just like, man, as good as advertised, he's the real deal, the real deal. I mean, great. He's good. He's good. He's good. So that's all I was thinking. I was like, man, you just ain't nothing you can say to that. I'm just a player making the play. So that's what he did.
It's hard to imagine you're a free agent after this season. Have you thought past this season? Have you closed the book on this season yet, just to think about what comes next for you, where you want to be, what you want to be doing?
Yeah, I've just been taking it one game at a time, just enjoying what's going on right now. And then when that time comes to, you know, get into all the other stuff, then I'll just focus on that. But I'm not trying to rush it. Just take it one day at a time.
Do you feel like you maybe reestablished that you can win with a running game in this league? The value of it, we've heard it for the last few years, that running back value going down, running back by committee, passing league. Do you think what you were able to do, what the Ravens were able to do in the regular season, the Niners being in this Super Bowl, is speaking to the value still even in 2020 of having either a monster running game or a monster running back individually?
Me, I really just focus on me just doing my job at the best of my ability, helping my team. And then with me doing that, if that what it looks like and that's what, you know, people think that it looks like, then I appreciate that because, you know, that's me doing something for the whole RB committee and, you know, for, you know, me doing that in the playoffs and, you know, people bringing that up as a topic, you know, I definitely, you know, appreciate it, you know, for the whole running back committee because, you know, they try to value us.
Yeah, they do that. Hey, when you're at Alabama, there's a picture, it's been circulated forever.
Yeah.
You standing next to Mark Ingram. Now, was it hard when you got to college? Look at this. It looked like your son right there coming to watch you play with the coin flip. How hard was it when you got to Alabama to say, I'm not a linebacker, I'm not a defensive end, I'm a running back?
I think when I was in high school, a lot of colleges were trying to recruit me as a linebacker, and I wanted to play running back. So when I got to Bama, I think they, you know, gave me the opportunity to play running, because I graduated high school early, so I got there in the spring. So they gave me a chance to, you know, play some running back in the spring, and, you know, they felt like it came natural to me. So ever since then, you know, it's just been what I play.
Biggest similarity between Saban and Vrabel?
You know, Coach Saban is doing it for a long time at a high level. I mean, it speaks for itself. I think the thing about Vrabel, he's very hands-on. Like, even in practice.
You thought he was going to say
literally hands-on.
Yes, he's in the drills with us. He's doing whatever, anything he can possible to help us get better, and that's what I love about him. He'll do anything he can to make sure that we are at the top of our game, and you know, anything he can do to help us get better each and every week.
Derek, it was so much fun watching you play this season. Really had a special season. We appreciate you hanging out with us today.
Hope you cash in, man.
Yeah, go get your money.
You deserve it, bro.
What they said.
Long day at work, tough day at school, still stuck at the office? Treat yourself to the meal you deserve on demand from your favorite restaurant. Restaurants come to you with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you to all your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. Just use the DoorDash app and choose what you want to eat, and your Dasher will bring it right to you wherever you are. Not only is that burger place you love on DoorDash already, but over 310,000 other amazing restaurants are too. DoorDash connects you with door-to-door delivery in over 3,300 cities in all 50 states across the United States and also in Canada. Order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite chains like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code FTF. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code FTF. Again, that's promo code FTF for $5 off your first order from DoorDash.
Jerome Bettis is with us now. We welcome you to the show. Good morning,
and Jerome.
Jerome,
I know you can handle yourself, but I just want you to watch your back a little bit because you got right behind you.
I know.
You got a Ravens fan.
I know.
Just very precariously
you see
seated
that purple,
right behind you.
Know,
I know.
Get uncomfortable in that purple blue,
you know? Right?
In your blind spot.
Before we dive in, you're here with Hertz. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with them.
Well, as a 20-year gold member of Hertz, I'm excited to help them kick off this extra mile campaign that they have. And it's really about celebrating the Hertz Gold Plus Reward members who have really helped them become number one in the space that they're in. And so they're giving 50 winners an opportunity to take a really decked out bus.
Yeah, appropriately.
The
day,
yeah, to the big game. And
nice.
I think it's going to be an extraordinary experience. And that's what Hertz is trying to do. They're trying to create experiences for their Reward Plus members that have made them the great company that they are.
All right, we're going to talk throughout this about your Super Bowl championship, but I want to talk about the experience before the game. It famously, obviously, it's your final game. It's in Detroit. It's in your hometown. You've already built a Hall of Fame resume. You had all the opportunity in the world, I'm sure, to go see people, to, you know, really embrace the week in the moment. And we talked to Emmitt Smith about this, and different people have different opinions. The advice you would have to the young guys on the Chiefs and the Niners who haven't been to a Super Bowl and how to approach this week, especially you guys were in Detroit. It's hometown for you, but not exactly the bustling nightlife Miami, Florida. How would you tell them they should approach this week?
I would tell them that what they need to make sure is they take care of the curfew issue. out of the gate.
Why does make everyone sure, keep talking about that?
Because
you say curfew,
because,
you get it in a certain time.
Well, the key is you don't even want to put that to the test. We want everybody in 30 minutes before curfew, whatever that curfew is, because what that does is it eliminates any type of issue before this game. The last thing you want is for one of the guys to, you know, be late to curfew, and now the coach has to make a tough decision. We don't want any tough decisions. We want the decisions to be made on the football field, not, you know, before the game starts, or he can't play the first half of the game or anything like that. So you want to alleviate all of those issues. Let guys know you have an opportunity to celebrate. You can party for the rest of your life if you win this championship. And I'm testament to that. I get a chance to have a ball because we took care of business. And so once guys understand that it's a business trip, and once you're done, you'll have, you know, the rest of your life to celebrate it, then they'll take it in perspective and understand.
You won your Super Bowl with Big Ben only completing 9 passes. How does the way that Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan are handling this offense remind you of the way that Big Ben played in his early years?
Yeah, you know, we were a veteran football team, and we knew that we were a really good team defensively, and we knew we could run the football. And so we said, you know what, we'll find a way to manufacture yardage and big plays and those kind of things. But it was about defense and running game. And when you look at, you know, Kyle Shanahan and what he's been able to accomplish, it's not that they can't throw the football. It's just that they don't have to. And why would you want to throw it if you don't have to throw it? And they're going back to old school football saying, if you can't stop me running the ball, then that's all you're going to see.
Right.
And if you do stop them, then they're able to make the big play in the passing game. It's not that they can't. They've done it all year long. It's just that they're that good running the football, they don't have to.
Would you have liked to have played in Kyle Shanahan's system?
You know what? It
would have
been nice. It would have been nice, but it's not really that downhill physical type of running. I think I would have been successful, but you know, I always like to play a little smash mouth football.
You're a volume running back. You got
to
get the ball 25, 30 times.
I need to get it.
With the three-headed monster.
I was watching out for your body. I was just trying to protect you, okay? I'm sorry. I was going for longevity.
No, but you know what? I would take the workload over longevity in a heartbeat, because you want to, you know, impact the game. I wanted to impose my will on that defense, and I can't do it if you give me 12, 15 times. But like, you know, the running back that was just here, Derrick Henry, you give him 25 times, he is going to make a difference in the football game.
And it'd be really interesting to see you with either of these teams. Like, if you were on a Chiefs team where the defense has to worry so much about the pass and you're just being able to gash the open holes, or the zone blocking scheme in San Francisco. When you guys won your Super Bowl, one of the biggest plays, you could argue, and now Big Ben, we now know, going to be a Hall of Famer, but maybe the prettiest pass thrown in that game by either quarterback was by Antoine Randle-El.
Exactly.
You almost expect these days some type of gadget play in the Super Bowl, Philly special or otherwise. How much leading up into the week, how many plays like that had you guys worked on? Did you know you were going to go to that one or one like it, or was that a break glass in case of emergency type of situation?
No, we had actually run that play in the AFC Championship game against Denver. So it wasn't a situation where we hadn't done it. We had done similar plays leading up to the Super Bowl. So this wasn't anything new for us. We were comfortable doing it. We had practiced all these plays the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 weeks of the season. So we knew that was part of our offense. It wasn't, we were just, you know, we want to add this because this was something that we needed to do. We wanted to really come at you a lot of different ways, and taking advantage of some of those plays, that was part of our offense.
This morning, nobody has cheered names until you walked onto this set. I kid you not. All right, let's start first by asking you, you are here on behalf of Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book, helping make the car buying process a little bit easier. Tell us a little bit about your partnership with them.
Yeah, well, You know, I thought it was a no-brainer, you know, to be here on behalf of AutoTrader and Kelly Blue Book, only because moving from Hawaii to Alabama, you know, the first thing you think of is transportation. You know, how am I going to get from point A to point B? I mean, we looked online, you know, with AutoTrader, we used AutoTrader. I mean, it saved us a lot of time looking. I mean, it eliminates everything, you know, from the car that I want. And then you look at the price ranging as well. It was easy. All we had to do was call up the dealership, you know, ask if we could take a look at the car. We went down there, and with the help of my grandparents as well, you know, we got the car that I wanted, which was a Jeep. So
nice.
That was my college car.
Very good.
All right, Tua, let's talk about your college career for a moment. Hey, there's never been one quite like it. You burst onto the scene at halftime of a championship game and lead one of the best second half comebacks we'll ever see. And unfortunately, as quickly and as brightly as it started, it ended. And in that moment, I think all sports fans, much less Alabama fans, are in shock. I'm curious for you, in the moment, what is going through your mind? And maybe more importantly, how are you doing as we sit here today?
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing good. I'm fine, you know. Up to this point, I think rehab has been doing really great. We're on pace for a full recovery. You know, but I think in life, you know, I'm grateful that I got to experience, you know, both sides of the spectrum. I got to experience being at the top of the mountain, you know. I mean, where I felt like, you know, everything was just there for me. And then, you know, also being in the peak of the valley, or, you know, just being low, you know. I just think it's good in a sense, because that's just how life is. You know, you learn, you know, when you're successful, and then you can also learn when, I think you learn more when you're not as successful. You know, you don't take things for granted as much. You understand maturity, you know, that, I don't know, it comes with not winning, comes with losing. So it's just life, you know. You win, you lose, you got to move on, you got to cope with it.
It really is amazing, though, that you, there are teams think that, even right here in Miami, that everybody thought dumping games to get you, and now the question is, you know, what is, by Kelly Blue Book, what is kind of your value? Give me your sense of, because I heard your press conference when you announced that you were going pro, and, you know, everybody thinks you're on the path to a full recovery. When will you know? When will you know that it's going to be back to the Tua we saw when you were healthy?
That's a good question. I think up to this point, what I'm most worried about is getting the CT scan done with our MRIs, you know, after the 3-month mark. So it wouldn't be this upcoming Monday, but the following week, you know? And so once we kind of get a gauge on the healing process from there, then I think that's when the doctors would be able to communicate with me and my family, you know, and tell us we're going to be good, or, you know, here's things we need to be cautious about still.
Did you really consider going back? Because there was that time span there where there was a lot of talk, hey, he might think about coming back to Alabama. And so many people were saying, you got to go. Take us through what you were actually thinking at the time.
Yeah, I definitely was thinking of coming back. It wasn't just, you know, me just
lip
trying
service
to elongate, you know, the process to keep everyone out there, you know, guessing. I mean, it was really hard with my parents, you know, on making the decision. We had to, we sat down and talked to Coach Saban. We sat down and talked to, I mean, people on the phone, you know, NFL GMs, owners. You know, and then the other thing, too, is we had a lot to pray about, you know, so it wasn't an easy process.
Tua, there's a certain peace that comes with the knowledge once you've settled into the fact that everything happens for a reason. And whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Whether or not your placement in the draft is adjusted one way or another because of your injury and now recovering from it, do you have an idea of what you want to see happen? Can you anticipate what you think is going to happen? I'm sure a lot of people are talking to you.
Yeah. You know, I think in this kind of process, it's hard. It's just hard, especially with the injury. I mean, no one can really tell, you know, if it's going to heal correctly, if it isn't. And that's why I think at the combine, it's going to be really good. You know, go over there, and my main focus, you know, is to win my medical. That's pretty much it. You know, everyone else is going to be there to win the 40, win the bench press. You know, my main concern is to go over there, you know, and win my MRI, win my CT scan there, you know, and I mean.
And if and when that happens, and let's say when instead of if, your tape will speak for itself, and more people will start coming to my side of the table, which is you're the best player in the draft. You were, I mean, look at the numbers. I mean, you did it, so you don't even have to look, but you had 35 touchdowns and 3 picks. You were damn near as good the year before. The year before that, you came into the national championship game and you won the title in your first big spot as a player. Let's just speak into existence the health. A healthy Tua Tagovailoa is what type of quarterback in the NFL?
That's a good question. You know, for me, it's hard for me to speak about myself. So, I mean, all I can say is, you know, whatever team decides to pick me, you know, they're gonna get someone who's gonna work hard, who's gonna be a leader for the team, and who's gonna hopefully put the team in the best, you know, situation to become successful.
Listen, you should be the number one player in the draft. I'm saying that you don't have to. Teams will regret it. I want to see. I understand the humility. I feel like it comes from your family. Your dad's here.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned off the air. He's the one who turned you into a lefty. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit? Maybe you're a little more comfortable talking about your family, that tight unit, and how they helped turn you into the very impressive young man that you are.
Yeah. You know, my parents, instead of, I guess, teaching us growing up and talking to us about how important, you know, they are to us, you know, I got to see it firsthand, you know, how they were with their parents. You know, no matter how old they got, you know, well, no matter how old they are, you know, within their life, whether they're teenagers or, you know, they're married. You know, every little decision that they've ever made, they went to their parents for you know, guidance, for counsel. And for me, it was something that I got to see firsthand and really witness and realize. And, you know, for me, I see that their parents, you know, was their heart. And so for me, growing up, it was just an easy transition for me to look at my parents the way they looked at their parents and honor and respect my parents as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who's watched Lilo and Stitch, Ohana means family, right? We learned about Ohana. And knowing how important Hawaii is to you, right? And okay, so I just, there's a couple of teams that could want your services. One, the weather is similar to Hawaii, like Miami. Mm-hmm. And one is closer in proximity, like the Chargers.
Yeah.
Proximity or feel and weather, which, if you had a choice, would you prefer? You thought this was going to be fucking
yeah,
you, right?
I was only going to ask you who's going to win the Super Bowl, but his question is harder.
Whatever team decides to pick me, that's the team I'm going to
go with. That's the right answer. Tua, you've got an exciting couple of months that lays ahead for you. So we thank you so much for hanging out with us this morning, spending
You'll
some time
regret
being
it.
Honest.
Thank teams, you guys for having if you don't take it.
Nick Absolutely. Has been on that corner for a long time. Nick has been a huge, huge fan.
I don't know. I didn't win the Heisman 2 years ago. I still don't understand. I didn't win the Heisman.
One superstar quarterback in this year's draft. There's one in next year's draft. One of them sitting right next to us.
We thank you so much for being with us, Tua. Back here, first things first. It is a postcard perfect morning down here in Miami. Warm, pleasant, absolutely beautiful. We are just a few yards off the beach, getting you ready for Super Bowl 54. We've had some tremendous guests all morning long, and right now, Super Bowl MVP, Von Miller is here.
I have to interrupt you. I apologize. Listen, every day is a blessing for me because I get to do the only thing I ever want to do. But sitting on set right here with, you could argue, in the last 20 years, defensive players who have won a Super Bowl for their team, it might just be two guys individually, and they're both right here. Von won a Super
Listen,
Bowl
man,
MVP.
You got to get you everywhere. You are my
Can I tell you what
player.
I was going to say?
If You should have won. San Antonio was a nice catch. He should have won Super Bowl MVP. It is so nice you join us. Yes, Jen, of
what
course.
I was going to say is we've had a ton of great guests. Unfortunately, they sit you next to Nick. I have never sat next to one that smells as good as you smell right now. And anyone on this side, you see all the seal? Everyone's nodding their head. You smell so good.
It's the new Old Spice Ultra Smooth.
And what a transition, said Jenna.
And you know, you got to be rough and tough on the football field, but off the field, I like to keep it smooth. And I don't like overpowering scents of deodorant or body wash. And the new Old Spice Ultra Smooth is for guys like me. And I got it on, actually. I do.
Oh.
I do.
I got too close, but that was great.
That didn't sound like, you know, okay.
What's wrong, James? You smell good, too. I'm surprised Nick didn't tell you.
I was over there next to you the other day, and you didn't tell me that.
Vaughn, what's this week like for these guys, man?
Man, you know, I called some of the guys before I came over here, and I just remember it being, you know, I was at peace, and I remember not being nervous, and I remember just hanging with my family and just taking advantage of the moment, because, you know, it's a lot of players that want to make it to the playoffs, want to go to the Super Bowl, but when you actually get there, you got to take advantage of it. Guys don't really, this opportunity really doesn't come around for everybody.
Yeah.
We had Emmett here who told us that the first time he got to the Super Bowl, there was a lot of partying, there was a lot of nerves, there was a lot of, they tried to make it a regular week, they knew it wasn't a regular week. What does that feel like?
When you make it to the Super Bowl, you pass the division around, you pass the wild card, you are really in the clear and you have 2 weeks to prepare for your opponent. And I just remember being at peace. I remember, you know, studying my guy for 2 weeks straight. And when we played, I didn't have any, you know, second guesses or anything.
Yeah, my things were that we didn't really want to change too much of what we would have did in the regular week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kyle, he gave us the freedom to basically do what we wanted to do up until I think it was like Wednesday or Thursday. And then, you know, Thursday curfew and all that other stuff started because you wanted to sit down, focus in, and get into what it is that you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And not make the situation, you know, so big that you let your nerves get you out of your game.
You know, that's crazy because whenever I watch the Super Bowl, it's some guys that rise up and it's some guys that fall. And it's all nerves. And when you're at peace and you're ready to go, you can go out there and play and do what you need to do.
Vaughn, nobody, and this is literal, not figurative, has played Patrick Mahomes in the NFL more than you guys. Because we talk about last year like it was his first year, but he played week 17, his rookie year, against you guys. And then I think his first big primetime moment was you almost sacking him and him throwing the left-handed pass. Apologies for bringing it up.
Geez.
At what moment going against him was that first matchup, second win, when you realized, oh, this guy's going to be a problem in this division?
It had to be the second game that we played. I remember we played them in 2017, I think. And they took Alex Smith out for a little bit and they let Patrick play. And, you know, I was like, you know, he's good. But I was like, man, he hasn't really done it. The second time that we played him, I was like, yeah, he's lights out. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He can make all the throws. He can run. He can pass. You know, he's calm, he's collected out there, and that's all you really need.
I want to ask you a question. I believe that Bosa has the potential to destroy the Chiefs' game plan. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I like Nick Bosa versus the Chiefs. You know, he's a rough and tough, you know, a defensive lineman. They got five defensive guys that would take it in the first round. And, you know, going against the Chiefs' offensive line, they got a good offensive line, but I'm going with the 49ers this go.
Okay. He thinks Eric Fisher is going to get crushed in this game. You've gone against Eric Fisher dozens of times. Your thoughts?
I'm not as strong as Nick Bosa. You know, and Nick Bosa is going to bring the power, and that's Eric Fisher's weakness.
Oh, okay. The power.
I wouldn't say his weakness, but that's what he struggles with.
That's called a weakness. It's okay.
You know, they make it to the Super Bowl. You know, these guys, they don't have too many weaknesses.
Is there a matchup you're looking forward to? James likes the Fisher-Bosa matchup. Is there one that you're really looking forward to as a player watching this weekend?
I want to see the 49ers defense versus the Chiefs offense. And I want to see if, you know, they can hold up against the stuff that the Chiefs do. I want to see if they can score, if the Chiefs can score points. So I'm going, the matchup that I'm excited to see is Patrick Mahomes versus that 49ers defense.
And for as a pass rusher, when Mahomes does escape, how do you manage wanting to get to him, but also trying to stay in what your lanes are and what your assignment is?
It's tough. I think, you know, coaches around the league have been trying to figure it out. You know, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, they have such a great relationship with Patrick Mahomes. He, you know, Patrick Mahomes would be scrambling, then he'd just hit Kelce, and Kelce would just stop. They got all type of weapons. It's going to be tough to stop this Chiefs offense.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.